Let's pray together. Almighty God and our gracious and loving Father in heaven, Thou who art the creator and sustainer of all things, we lift up our eyes unto Thee, Father, for help and for sustenance for all those things that we stand in need of. And Father, we lift up our voice in praise and thanksgiving unto Thee, for Thou art worthy of all praise and adoration. Father, we thank Thee for every blessing of life, and particularly now we think of the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation. And Father, we understand that these freedoms come by great sacrifice, and help us always, Father, to never take lightly the things that we enjoy, but help us always to remember that they come of Thy hand and praise Thee for it. Father, we are thankful for these gathered here and pray that You'd bless them and bless each one of us in our worship. Bless those who are not able to be here. And Father, when it is in accordance to Your will, would You restore them back to this house of worship. And Father, we are going, as You know, through a period of dryness in our land, and we pray that You would send rain upon the earth. We're thankful for those showers that we received, but Father, we asked for a general rain that would replenish the earth. And Father, in like manner, we pray for spiritual rains to come down on this dry creation. And just bless us that we might be revived and refreshed, and that we might bring forth fruit to Thy name's honor and glory. Father, just now I pray that You would bless me to preach the word. Bless each of us to hear and to understand Your message. And Father, bless us that we might serve Thee in a more perfect way in days to come. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and we'll look at just one verse, the 46th verse. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And this will be the concluding message of a series that we've been engaged in concerning the sayings of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, although these events occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, they're still very relevant for us today. The things that Jesus spoke in that day applied not to those immediate hearers only, but to all the family of God. And as Jesus was dying on our behalf, He left words that are very important for us. So we need to pay earnest heed to these things that were spoken. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, God's Word says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Now I think of one of the things that I have emphasized throughout this series, Jesus speaking with a loud voice, and I believe a commanding voice. Not the voice of weakness, not the one, the voice that you'd expect of one who is near the point of death. You know, and most natural men, if you've ever been in the company of someone as they pass from this life, usually the voice is very weak, sometimes no more than a whisper, if that much. But Jesus spoke with a loud and, I believe, commanding voice. As we looked last week at the message according to John's Gospel, when Jesus said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. The bowing of the head indicates to me that prior to that time, His head had been held erect. So again, evidence that Jesus is in control of everything that is going on. And when He had completed His work and His mission, as the Scripture says here, He gave up the ghost. Another thing that I've emphasized throughout this series is the fact that the things that were happening at the crucifixion of Jesus were things that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And some of the things that Jesus spoke had been spoken, especially when Jesus cried out, I believe, in agony to the Father, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" the words that David spoke in Psalm 22. And that psalm, it's a picture of the things that would take place at Calvary. So this particular expression of Jesus commending His Spirit to the Father, we find in Psalm chapter 31. And I think most scholars believe that this is a psalm of David. Psalm 31, and beginning at the first verse, the psalmist says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness." To me, that pictures Jesus in His trusting the Father, giving Himself into the hands of the Father in full faith and assurance that finally the Father would deliver Him. And He said, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Now you notice in the psalm, the psalmist says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." The essential meaning of those words are the same. And as I understand it, the original word from the Greek language, it means to deposit as a precious treasure into the hands of one for safekeeping. So Jesus tells the Father, "Into thy hands I commend," or "I commit my spirit." Now, before I get away from this and lose my train of thought, the reason I emphasize that these things were prophesied, these words were spoken in the Old Testament, is to assure us that God had a plan and a purpose. You know, it's not that these evil men took hold of Jesus by force and put Him to death because He couldn't do anything else. But it is assurance for us that God knew us. He knew the condition that we would find ourselves in because of sin. And He had a plan to deliver us from our sins. It's not an afterthought on the part of God, but it is part of an eternal plan. Does that not do something to your heart? To think about how insignificant really I seem when you think about the billions of people that live upon this earth. God has a plan and a purpose for me. And He's had it even before He created the world. He knew me in Christ, had a plan and a purpose for my life. And here He's just assuring me, here's the steps I have taken. And oh, what steps He has taken to redeem us from our sin. I want you to notice also in Luke chapter 23 again, Jesus, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You know, in that, after the near the end of Jesus' sufferings, when darkness was upon the face of the earth, when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There was a relationship, that Father-Son relationship between Jesus and His Heavenly Father. And all through His earthly ministry, He talked about His Father and that close relationship they had. But as our sin bearer, because He was bearing the penalty of our sins, for that time on the cross, He was separated from His Father, that Father-Son relationship. And He was in that relationship of God as the righteous judge. And as Jesus took our sins upon Himself, He, in effect, became a criminal in the eyes of God. And He could only cry to the judge, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And now, Jesus again addresses Father. because that relationship has been reestablished. And that assures us that His sacrifice had been acceptable to the Father, that sin had been put away, and now He's back in that close, loving relationship with His Father. And because of that Father-Son relationship, we can address God as our Father, because we're no longer guilty rebels before a righteous judge. In Christ Jesus, because of what He has done for us, we're brought into that Father-Son relationship as well. And Jesus taught us when we pray, we address our Father who art in heaven. And what a great privilege that is. In John's first epistle, John, 1 John chapter 3, I want to read the first three verses. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, John wrote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Now, behold, look, examine the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. Don't simply think that God loves us. But look at the manner of love. It is that love that prompted Him to give His only begotten Son on our behalf. And that manner of love is an effective love. It works in our life and it accomplishes what God intended for it to do. You know, there have been and are people that I love and I'd like to see things better for them. And I pray for them and I do what I can, but it doesn't seem like it does much good. But when God loves, that love works in our life. Now, we may rebel against it and all those other things, but finally, God's love will accomplish its purpose. So, behold what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what John said here when Jesus appears, when He comes for us? We're going to be like Him. We're going to be changed and made like Jesus. And we're going to see Him fully as He is. But if you have that hope, that expectation, and John says, we purify ourselves. We start right now living our best life, trying as much as we can to be like Jesus in this life. That's just, if you really want to be like Him, you start trying now to be like Him. Going back to Luke again, and Jesus had cried with a loud voice, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." There's a great contrast here, because Jesus is placing His spirit, His life force, however you want to express that, into the hands of the Father. He had taught His disciples, and He had prepared them for His coming crucifixion, although they never seemed to grasp or understand what He was teaching. But in one example, Matthew chapter 17, I read verses 22 and 23. Again, Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." So Jesus says, "I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men." And all that we saw taking place leading up to the cross and the crucifixion itself, Jesus was in the hands of men. And you see what men's hands did. But he also recognized the fact that he would be delivered out of men's hands. Luke chapter 24, and beginning at the first verse, is the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the angel that spoke to those there. Read with me Luke chapter 24 and beginning at the first verse. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. You know, the thought just struck me that these women came to anoint the body of Jesus, to prepare the body of Jesus properly for burial, to show their last act of love and respect, because the time of the crucifixion and the coming of the Sabbath, they didn't have a chance to do that. So on the first day of the week, they would come to show that love and appreciation. Aren't you happy that they were disappointed in their purpose? They came to anoint a body that was not there. Praise the Lord. And verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. But what I wanted you to see in this particular passage, the angels, and I believe these were angels speaking to them, said, remember what he said, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Must, because God had decreed that this was the only way of salvation for His people, that Jesus take our place and suffer in our stead. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church, in Acts chapter 2 and verse beginning at verse 22, as Peter spoke to that crowd assembled there, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now let me pause there. Peter made a statement, and evidently there was no objection to that statement. Jesus was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Jesus gave evidence that he was who he said he was. And Peter tells this crowd, you know it. And yet they crucified the Lord of glory. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. This was a predetermined plan. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and as Jesus said, he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. That didn't excuse the sinful men, because this was according to God's plan. Because Peter says, you by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But for that time and for that purpose, Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinful men. And now, having accomplished his purpose, he said to the Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And now he's in the Father's hands once again. Now, I've tried to emphasize again through this series of messages that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a voluntary death. And we have ample evidence of the fact that Jesus willingly laid down His life. No man took it from Him, but He gave His life to the Father. In the Gospel of John, in the 10th chapter, Jesus speaks as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, I'll begin reading at verse 14. Again, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Heavenly Father put the very power of death, of life and death, into the hands of Jesus Christ. He had the power to willingly lay down His life, and He had the power to take it up again. Do you know that no man has the power of his own life, and no man ever has, except Jesus Christ? You may think of people who have taken their own life. And that's true. But I've known of a number of cases where men have attempted to take their life and were not able to. Until God suffers it to be so, you cannot lay down your life. And even if you were able to lay down your life, there's never been another who could take it up again. Because when you're dead, you're dead. But Jesus has the power of life in Himself to lay down His life and to take it again. And He says He's laid down His life, and He trusts that life force, that spirit, into the hands of His Father, because He knew that that was the only safe place. And in the hands of the Father, that life is eternally safe. And I want you to remember the fact that we are in the hands of Jesus Christ. That when He died, we were in Him, represented by Him. We were a part of Him. And He commends His Spirit to the Father. Then He has control of us, of our spirit. John chapter 10, and beginning at verse 27. I'm undecided about what I want to read, so forgive me that. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Essentially, what Jesus is saying is, we're in His hands, He's in the Father's hands. No man is able to pluck us out of the hands of Jesus Christ. But if they were able to accomplish that, they'd still have to go through the hands of the Father. There's eternal security, and there should be eternal rest in Christ Jesus, because He laid down His life for us. And I pray that the Lord would make us mindful of the great gift that we call salvation, and that we treasure it. And we make use of it as God intended, that we live our lives in praise unto our Heavenly Father, who loved us and gave His only begotten Son to redeem us from our sins. May God bless us to live in a way that is becoming the redeemed of Jesus Christ, is my prayer for Christ's sake.